All right, Bob. Not every market is as happy as we are because coaches are getting fired. So
amazing.
Jonathan Gannon is the latest one. He was my coach of the year, I might add.
You had the Cardinals in the playoffs, Joe.
I did.
The danger
of
prognostications.
Look at this guy, Bob. He takes such pleasure in it.
That wasn't a shot. That was me grieving with you.
I also had the Broncos winning their division. How do you like that?
Yeah, I had the Chargers winning that division.
I had Vegas.
You had Vegas?
I think I did. Or either that or as a playoff team, a wild card, whatever.
How about Donnie had the Panthers getting in as a wild card?
Did he?
Yeah.
He was wrong.
He also predicted the score of last night's game properly, 26-24.
If that field goal goes through, I had Ravens 30-27. I was right on it, Bob.
I had Steelers 27-24. So I
nice.
Boswell
very nice pick.
Point.
I had 20-17.
How about if it ends up with Loop making it and Boswell's the guy we're talking about?
We would be talking about him. There's no doubt about that. I mean, this has been a weird little run for a perfect kicker, basically.
That right, ball, Bob. I never saw a ball go so far right so quickly.
Like I told you, I was writing. I looked down. It went through as far as I knew. It wasn't even close. And then I hear Tirico say, and he misses it. What happened?
I don't know. There was no wind. It just veered right faster than I could have imagined.
One of the strangest kicks I've ever seen. It was like a bad golf slice. It just...
Yeah.
It looked good when it left his – look at that, Jonathan Gannon. He is fired. When you go 15-36
and 14
in 3 years.
This season. That's a tough – Arizona's really in a tough spot, too, in that division.
They ended this season on a 9-game losing streak.
Houston has a 9-game winning streak. How about which streak now? You got a 9-game winning streak, and you also have the Steelers' 23-game home Monday night winning
streak.
Does
this count as a Monday night football game in the truest sense? Does it, Bob?
It's Monday night.
Okay. Didn't we have a Monday late afternoon loss mixed in there? That didn't count as a Monday night.
It's Monday afternoon.
Late afternoon, some would say evening.
Depending on what time clock you're on.
All right. I just want a clarification there because it's the playoffs.
It may be just regular season, right? I don't know how that works.
Well, it is. The streak is just regular season, but I'm wondering if we can couch this as a true Monday night game. It's on Monday night, I guess. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to bring the magic over, that's what you – but Houston's won 9 in a row. They know how to win games. Number one ranked defense in a lot of different categories. So, really interesting.
Other coaches fired. Raheem Morris in Atlanta. What'd
I was surprised
think of that?
By that, only because they won their last two, and they ended in a virtual tie for that division. They lost to the – I think they lost to the Jets earlier this season. Somebody lost – it may have been them. I'm not sure. But, man, every team has one of those games where you look back on it and say, man, they count. In September, October, they're still meaningful when it comes to January football.
I mean, that's a tough one, but he didn't have a winning season. He came in the middle of that year, was promoted in 2000. Oh, no, that was a long time ago. That doesn't count. So he only got 2 years, really, to show, and he was 8-9, 8-9.
And Penix got
that's
hurt
not a long
through.
Time.
I don't know if it was his decision to bring in Kirk Cousins at that money, but it was funny because the owner – Arthur Blank gave him a big hug and a handshake after the game.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, he was fired.
All right. How about Stefanski? What do we make of this?
He'll get another job pretty quickly, I think. I think he's a scapegoat for all their problems. I think their problems lie with their general manager, who Mike Tomlin does not like at all, Andrew Berry. I think he's the problem.
I'm going to be very clear about this. There should be a blanking statue of Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. There's one guy who's won a playoff game with that sick and sorry franchise that's run by Jimmy Haslam, who's one of the worst owners in all of sports. He won a playoff game with the Cleveland Browns. Him and Baker Mayfield should have a statue together. Instead, both of them got kicked out of town. Now, I don't know how much Stefanski had to do with kicking Mayfield out. This dude went to Cleveland. Did I mention Cleveland? And had years of 11-5 and 11-6. It wasn't his decision to bring in and sell the franchise's soul for Deshaun Watson. Okay? And I guarantee you he's going to get a job quickly. And if I was the Raiders with the number one overall pick, I would draft Mendoza and bring in Stefanski and whoever he wants to bring in. And let's go. If I'm the Raiders, I think that would be a great start. You?
I wouldn't object to that if I was a Raiders fan at all. Tom Brady will eventually, I think, make the decision, given the role he's in over there. And I don't know what he thinks of Kevin Stefanski, but I totally agree with your assessment of Cleveland. This is all Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry. I don't think, Deshaun Watson, it took an owner to want to give that kind of contract. He didn't make that decision. The owner did. He wanted immediate because they've gone through so many quarterbacks, but he made the wrong read there. If they had kept, just imagine if they kept Baker Mayfield. How this all would have changed, maybe.
Right. Stefanski won, and I don't agree with everything Stefanski does. There have been some games against the Steelers where I questioned him for sure. But he won 11 games and went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it's Cleveland we're talking about. So I think he's going to get snapped up in a second. I really do. And I think the Raiders' limits would be very wise to bring him in and draft Mendoza.
I agree. And they need a good offensive-minded head coach to be able to work with Mendoza. Stefanski might be that guy. But do you know who the rumored potential replacement for Kevin Stefanski is, Joe? Have you heard about this?
Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator?
No.
Who?
If there's a move made from this organization, it could be.
He was really frustrated at the...
Joe Block?
You know, just like he was...
Mikey boy.
I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
Jeremy Fowler said last week that Mike McDaniel could be a name to watch for the Browns if McDaniel and the Browns head coaching position, which is now open, became available. So if McDaniel gets fired in Miami, there's a chance he might become the Browns head coach.
See, I
promise you that would be a disaster.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that at all. I don't even know if he's going to be fired in Miami. I saw a couple of reports yesterday that indicated they were going to bring him back.
He strikes me as a career offensive coordinator, which isn't a bad thing. I think he's a sharp offensive mind. He doesn't strike
McDaniels,
me.
Josh McDaniels, guy better suited for doing one thing as opposed to the other.
He doesn't strike me as a leader of men, a CEO type. I mean, can you play that again, Limits? Bob, this is your CEO walking in to talk to all the troops.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
That guy belongs scribbling plays on napkins somewhere, like a beautiful mind, not in front of people, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, you talked about the leader, the CEO type. He doesn't have those qualities at all. It seems like if he can't even articulate that, whatever message he was in the media, how's
I'm not
he
sure
get
he can
his...
articulate hello. How about Pete Carroll?
I'm surprised
with the Raiders.
I didn't think it'd be one and done with him.
It was so disastrous. It had to be. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I didn't expect. Did you expect that? Did you expect them when they brought Geno Smith in specific to him?
Not 3-14. No. I mean, I think old Pete is just done, and I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame. Don't you? Why wouldn't he be?
I haven't thought about that. I'd have to think more about it. I know one thing. He's going to get a lot of money to leave.
Wait, you think there's a question whether he'll be in the Hall of Fame? There's guys in the Hall of Fame who haven't won Super Bowls.
I never thought about it until you just said that. I didn't look at, and to me, he doesn't jump off the charts as a Hall of Fame coach to me.
But me neither. But I'm going on precedent. I think he's a shoe-in. If you win a Super Bowl, you're going to the Hall of Fame. Again, there's guys who didn't win Super Bowls who are in there.
No, I get that. I didn't expect you to ask that question. I certainly have not thought about his inclusion in the Hall of Fame. We'll see.
173 wins, millions of playoff spots, 2 Super Bowls, 1 Super Bowl win. Should have had 2 Super Bowl wins, right, Bob?
Well, that call that they made, you talk about play calling. That was the one that, like, you have Marshawn Lynch, and that's the play you're going to call?
One of the all-time worst play calls in the history of sports, right?
It really was. I mean, everybody knew what was coming, what should have been coming, and it never came. They tried to outsmart themselves, and that's what coaches will do sometimes.
Is he in the College Football Hall of Fame already?
I think he is. If he isn't,
I guess they cheated, but who didn't is what I always say to that. You know what his record was at USC? He coached 116 games at USC. How many did he win, Limits, out of those 116 games?
80 maybe?
Bob?
92.
97.
Wow. Mm.
He was 97-19. 97-19 and 2 national championships. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Back in the day, John McKay won everything out there, too, before he became head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. His biggest decision, it seemed like, which Heisman Trophy candidate would carry the ball next. And that's how USC was back then.
How about Pete Carroll is not eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame? There's a requirement to have coached for a minimum of 10 seasons, and he only coached at USC for 9 years.
Holy ostrich.
I didn't know of such know a that. Yeah, that seems weird. How about if you go nine and you win 9 national champions? You're not in the Hall of Fame?
You need a 10th.
You need a 10th, Bob. We can't let you in.
I mean, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Do you think that happened with like football programs at like Yale and, you know, Brown back in the day in like 1910? They just were powerhouses and won 7 national championships, but no, your coach didn't coach long enough. You can't get in.
That is crazy. All right, Bob. Back to the matter at hand, and that is an absolutely electrifying, memorable, incrinculent, some have said, Steeler victory. And why don't we go straight to the report card and get another little aspect of this going on here. Ray Fittipaldo, of course, it's the most read thing at the Post-Gazette today. Every
people like grades.
Steeler game day. It is day after game day anyway. All right. Ray says the quarterback gets an A+. I couldn't agree more. The way that Aaron Rodgers played that fourth quarter, really the second half by and large, was just masterful. And he really gives this team, I think, legitimate hope moving forward. When you have a guy at that position, making plays, not just game managing, but making plays, you have a chance. I give him an A+ as well. You?
Yeah, it's all about late in the game. The weighty downs, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, all those plays, they were significant on third down, almost impossible to stop in the fourth quarter on third down, came up with big plays when needed. So forget the first half. Your grade may have been totally different in the first half based on what you saw. A+ is the right grade because of what he did.
Mr. P?
A+ for Aaron, especially how he was able to command the offense in the red zone, the drives when they needed it.
How about they were 0 for their last 5 in the red zone, and then they turned it up when they got...
Like, this is the type of game that you bring Aaron Rodgers in for. We said the same thing about the Cleveland game, but when the rubber met the road, he delivered.
Running backs, Jalen Ward, 99 scrimmage yards, Kenneth Gainwell, 74, 64 receiving, and a touchdown. And as Mike Tomlin said after the game, we have two awesome backs. It is a really good backfield. This is really interesting that the Steelers made it in. What if it turns out that the Ravens were the biggest threat they had in the AFC, Bob? I don't want to go too far here. But they're not facing Lamar this week. They're facing a great defense, but they are not facing the monster that is Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Anyway,
I kind of look at Seattle and Houston the same way. They have capable quarterbacks, but they're not going to win you games by themselves at times. They need help.
Right.
So, but those two teams may end up meeting in the Super Bowl because of their defense.
I think it's going to be Steelers-Panthers in the Super Bowl, Bob.
The David Tepper Bowl.
The David Tepper Bowl. Tepperware. Warren and Gainwell get an A from Ray, and I say yes to that.
I'll give him an A+.
Why not an A+? I was just going to say
They did everything.
Why
they
is Ray
done.
Being so cheap on
Maybe
the grade?
Because it's the goal line where Gainwell stopped, but he was their leading receiver again. And that was noticeably different last week in Cleveland. They did not throw the ball to him or Freiermuth, and as a result, they paid the price for that one. But he was right there. What he does, Warren, is nobody runs harder than Jalen Warren. I mean, Walker reminds me of Jalen, the way they both run. You know,
he gets extra yards almost every time he carries the ball.
He's unbelievable.
Limits?
Yeah, I go A+ as well. That run that Warren had where he broke off of one defender, then another. He broke, 5 tackles on that play, just continued to juke past defenders.
He has to be one of the best running backs in terms of yard after contact.
Can you look that up, Limits?
He'd been relatively quiet over the last couple of weeks.
But they never used him a lot.
Well, yeah, it was Gainwell that was taking the full stage, but both of those guys were the most dependable players on offense outside of Rodgers.
Can you find out if he is one of the best at that?
Yards after contact
as running backs.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to PFF Limits?
I do not.
You should. You're the beat writer. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Vacations begin here, Bob. At the Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA Travel, January 23rd through the 25th at the David Lawrence. Are we dropping the L, Bob?
Is it not still the David L. Lawrence Convention Center? That's the way it should
Limits,
be.
Why is there no L here? Have they dropped it?
It's a great question. I didn't think they did.
Am I doing something wrong by adding it back in?
I just provided to you what was provided to me.
I'm going to go ahead and use a poetic license here, Bob. Is that what you'd call it? The David L. Lawrence Convention Center. January 23rd through the 25th, exclusive discounts, convenient one-stop shopping. Dream it, plan it, book it, experience it. Tickets and details at PittsburghTravelShowcase.com, where your vacation is waiting for you. So it was a little interaction with Limits on the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right. Offensive line. I think this is becoming a pretty good story. Rodgers dropped back 49 times and was only sacked twice, says Ray. The line's ability to protect him in both Ravens games, a huge factor. They scored 53 points in those games, and they rushed for 100 yards. Fatanu's kickout block opened a huge hole on Gainwell's touchdown. He gives him an A. I don't see any reason not to. I'll give him an A.
Yeah, I thought they did everything they could have done. And again, considering that you're dealing with a guy who wasn't even thought of as a left tackle, other than being a depth guy, and that's it. He hadn't played all that much. He's been terrific. And they did what they had to do in the run game and protecting Rodgers for the most part. I know some of that is a result of short passes underneath, quick hitters, whatever you want to call it, dink and dunk. But when they needed to go down the field, that offensive line gave them what time he needed. So, yes, an A.
All right, Bob, we have something happening. The pizza guy is calling Limits right now. I ordered us a pizza. Are you going to partake?
No, because
this is
my
a celebratory
wife,
pizza.
No, I understand. I don't want to eat too much pizza because I've been eating too much pizza. Yeah. And my wife has lunch for me before I go back into KDK TV after we're done here. So all I don't want to overeat. But all thank you for the thought.
You're welcome. It's a thought that counts.
Yeah, it is.
We still have callers on the line. We still have a lot of things happening. The defensive line from Ray. Cam Hayward continues to defy Father Time. He was front and center on keeping Henry in check, 14 yards in the second half. And he had a team-high 7 tackles along with Benton. Derek Harmon, I already talked about, I thought the series that turned the game, I'll be honest about that, was after the Hayward brothers were stopped. Ravens ready to go up 14-0, and if they do, I wonder what happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Derek Harmon, they showed the bird's eye view of Derek Henry having a gigantic gaping hole to run through. Only a secondary guy, maybe Jalen Ramsey, between him and the goal line, it looked like to me, maybe two guys back there, but not the size of Harmon. Harmon swats his man aside and just stands up Henry in the hole the way Bobby Spillane once did. It was a phenomenal play that probably goes largely unnoticed. And then the next play, this monster of a man chases down Lamar.
That was the most impressive play I thought he made. You know, given what you're dealing with, and I don't care how, you know, hampered Lamar Jackson is, if you can run him down the way Cam Hayward has run down so many guys down the field, and he showed a lot of speed for being as big as he is, that's an impactful play, no question.
That was really something. He only gives the defensive line a B, Bob, and I'd like Ray to explain that. He went through compliments, but only gives them a B. Is it because Henry got out of the gates a couple different times? He never really got out, except that play that got half called back. He still had well over 100 yards. I have trouble not giving them at least an A-. You?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Austin stuck with your pizza outside. He needs a key card to get in. Should I leave?
Is he looking? What's he doing?
He's just standing there looking.
I feel bad leaving him out there. You go ahead. No, I feel. Oh my God, he looks so small out there.
I'll go.
Looks like trick or treat time, and he's dressed in a Steeler jersey, doesn't it? Bob, out of the goodness of his heart, has gone out to get Limits, who's locked out of the studio. So, yeah, I give the defensive line an A-, and man. If I'm watching tape in Houston this week, I'm thinking we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Bob, I was just saying, if I'm the offensive brain trust of the Texans, I'm not sleeping well this week looking at that Steelers front. I'm just not to mention Highsmith, Watt, and everybody behind them. Now, right. I know there were some breakdowns yesterday. I get it, but I'm not sleeping well.
No, especially when you know you're going to have a hard enough time running and making them one-dimensional.
Limits, why are you getting the first piece? This is unbelievable, Bob.
You know, I locked myself out, and then the nice man that delivered the food was telling me about his rapping career. So, and I also forgot my wallet with my key, so that was a problem.
Well, glad you're back.
We were going to let you out there for a while.
I figured.
Yeah, we were talking about you.
Sorry, Bob, I interrupted you.
No, I forget where you... Oh, Houston should be worried because they're going to have to do something they really haven't done well. They're going to have to run the ball to some degree.
Yeah.
And they haven't done it. And if you don't do it, you're inviting problems.
Again,
the Steelers, I think, are capable of turning the ball, getting takeaways in that department. They've done it. But at the same time, the Steelers are going to have their own issues with that defense.
They are. There's no doubt. But I think the Steelers have a quarterback advantage in this situation. And I think that Stroud will turn it over. I think that Rodgers won't. And I think that'll be the difference, one of the differences in the game.
Unless their offensive line can't stop that pass rush. That pass rush is legit, and it comes at you from different angles.
I think Rodgers will stop it by himself. I think a punt is a good play in this game, and I think this little dink and dunk offense with a shot now and again will be the antidote to that Texans defense. Not that they're going to light them up, but that they'll score enough points to win and won't turn it over.